Good afternoon. It is 1 p.m. We are here today, May 23rd, 2018, in the OPA Hearing Room Suite 907 of the DNA Building in Hagania, Guam, for the formal hearing continuation of OPA PA 18-001 JMI Edison versus the Guam Memorial Hospital Authority. Presiding over the hearing today are Hearing Officer Peter C. Paris and Deputy Public Auditor Yuka Hachinova. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Rodlin Gerardo and Jared Hernandez. Will appellant JMI Edison please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good afternoon, Mr. Hearing Officer, Madam Deputy Public Auditor. My name is Joshua Walsh. I'm an attorney working on this case with Seville and Tang. Our clients are the appellant JMI Edison. And present from JMI Edison are its Vice President, Mr. John Elow, and also present in the room is its Principal, Mr. Ed Elow.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. Will Purchasing Agency GMHA please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good afternoon. I'm Rachel Tabinella-Zuzu with Fisher & Associates. We are legal counsel for the Purchasing Agency, Guam Memorial Hospital Authority. And with me today is Dolores Penguinen, the Supply Administrator.
Thank you. Will interested party Oka Pacific Inc. please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Yes, Georgette Bella Conception, and with me I have Representative Simon Sanchez from Oka Pacific Inc.
Thank you. We may proceed.
Okay, Mrs. Zuzu, you have your next witness ready?
I do. Prior to that, though, I'm going to ask the OPA and Mr. Hearing Officer and parties' indulgences to allow me to recall Mrs. Penguinen. There was an issue regarding the descriptive material that was presented. It was in cross by JMI, and I think we need to address that. That I think should be explained. So I'm going to, since we are in an informal proceeding and the objective here is to fact find, I think that it's something that the OPA needs to be made aware of.
Okay, so please call her.
I'm going to call now Dolores Penguinen, the Supply Administrator.
Ms. Penguinen, you're still under oath.
Yes.
Good afternoon, Lilo. Okay, so we're not going to go through the whole thing about who you are and what your employment is with the Guam Memorial Hospital. We're just going to get into it. It really is just two questions. When we were discussing the descriptive literature and subsection 1-42 in the IFB, there was a question that was posed to you, which really was kind of the first sentence of that IFB regarding the first sentence. And can you explain when descriptive literature is produced with inability and when it is not required?
Yes, I just wanted to clarify that on descriptive literatures, Mr. Walsh had brought up if it's a qualified product that they don't need. And yes, that is true. If it's a qualified product being offered, there's no need for a descriptive literature to be attached. However, that's normally in IFBs, there's usually a qualified product or, you know, that's required, that's put onto that. So if that's what they're offering, then there's no need for it. However, if there's no qualified product or any item that's being offered as an equivalent, I mean, as a qualified product or being noted as what, you know, we're asking for, then a descriptive literature is then required.
Okay, so what is a qualified product? Can you give us an example of that?
Yeah, when we offer, we're doing a bid, if let's say we're doing supplies and we want to get a gauze, we would say we're looking for a I don't remember the brands just went. Let's just say we're asking for a BD number 5678. If that is, that we'll put that as a qualified product and then we say or equivalent. Now, if they're providing us with the qualified product, which is the BD 5678, then there's no descriptive literature or, you know, required or sample. But if it's an equivalent product, normally on supplies, we require a sample to be attached along with the literature.
Okay. And in this particular IFB, there was no
reference product, right?
Okay. Yeah. And
generic as possible, so we didn't identify basically any brand of manufacturer. That's why we put descriptive literature as a requirement.
JMI, as a bidder to several previous contracts, has it been your experience that JMI produces bids that include descriptive literature?
Yes. They even provide samples when necessary. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. No further questions.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes. Can I ask you to, first of all, ma'am, I do appreciate your clarification, correcting your testimony from yesterday, but I do have a question as a follow-up. Can you open that little book there to Exhibit 1? That's the IFB. And can we look at that section 1-42 on descriptive literature?
Okay.
I'm going to ask you, would you agree with me that the word qualified product or the phraseology that qualified products, if there's no qualified product, you must have descriptive literature, that none of that appears in 1-42?
Yes, that's good.
Okay, thank you. I have no further questions.
Misconception?
No questions.
Any redirect based upon that very limited cross?
No.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Pangolinan.
Thank you.
Mrs. Zuzu, who's your next witness?
Dr. Abadi.
Do you need assistance in?
I believe he might. I got his. Oh, I've not ever met you in person. So he is present.
Okay, right, please now. Take the stand.
Please state your name for the record.
Naran Abadi.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Please be seated.
Good afternoon, Dr. Abadi.
Hi.
I'm Rachel Zuzu, one of the attorneys for GMHA.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand that you have a very busy schedule
right.
at the hospital. So we're going to try to make this as quick as we can. Can we start off first with an explanation of what you do at the hospital, the title that you hold, and how long you've been with GMHA?
Yeah, so I've been since mid-November with GMH. I'm the interventional radiologist, but I also do diagnostic radiology. I'm the vice chair of the Department of Radiology and the chief of interventional radiology.
Okay. And so you've been with GMHA for a relatively short period of time.
Yes.
Were you a part of the reviewing committee for this IFB?
So I came on board at the end of the submission of the bid, I think. It was around that time. I think the bid was submitted somewhere in December, and I came on board mid-November. So I wasn't really, I didn't really review initially the process, but then later on I looked into what kind of scanners were offered.
Okay. Well, you weren't a part of the reviewing committee that made that determination, correct? Okay. But you are a doctor within the radiology department.
Yes.
And can you give us a little background information about your credentials and how long you have been practicing as a doctor?
Yeah, so
I'm going to put an objection onto the relevance of the testimony. If I heard correctly, this gentleman was not part of the reviewing committee or of the decision-making process at the agency regarding the non-responsibility of the appellant here. So non-responsiveness because of the appellant here. But because of that, I'm going to put an objection as to the relevance.
What is your response to the objection?
He is the end user. So the reviewing committee consists of certain representatives of the entire hospital. And this is to take a look at all the bids, but in the end, it is the radiology department as a whole who will be using the equipment, and his testimony is being offered as somebody who is familiar with CT scanners and what a 64-slice acquisition machine can do and has done in his experience. So as part of being the end user of the hospital, I believe that his testimony is relevant.
Doctor, you weren't part of the evaluation committee?
No, I was not.
And did you consult with the evaluation committee regarding this IFB?
I was familiar later on what kind of machines were in the package and what we asked for. But it wasn't part of the decision making.
Did you provide input at the time that the IFB was being put together to?
Don't recall exactly the date when it was done, but didn't put like input in terms of any kind of written statement or anything in that. I wasn't really voting on that.
Dr. Nicole Donraj testified yesterday that she received input from hospital personnel regarding the clinical needs of the hospital with respect to the CT scans. Do you recall whether or not she obtained that information from you?
Yeah, we discussed. We discussed like what we want, why we want it, and we discussed those things. But
was that prior to award? Prior to award.
Not sure exactly at the dates anymore. I started November 13, and I'm not sure when exactly the bid was submitted. But I remember that I looked at the folders from the different vendors, and I mentioned to Nicole which products I like and what I think is a good product and whatnot.
And just to clarify, it would have been prior to the award and bid status notification, which were sent out in December.
Is that correct, Doctor?
Yeah.
If I may on that, the IFB was issued in July of 2017, so to the extent that the doctor, there was a question about whether he had any influence in the development of the specifications that the radiologist witnessed yesterday described temporally, that's just not possible. And also to the extent that his input was used to make an aid in the selection, I actually don't recall communications with him in the procurement record as part of the evaluation committee. So I'm actually now, just to preserve my client's rights on this, having to talk about my objection to the fact that now I'm hearing that this gentleman is not in the procurement record.
No, to be clear, he was not a part of the reviewing committee. And we're not offering him as such. We're offering him as one of the end users for the hospital who's familiar with CT scanners and can speak on why a 64 acquired machine is, and actually speak to the machine that was a part of the bid, as being one who's familiar with that type of technology.
Whether my objection still stands in terms of the relevance.
Okay, well, why don't you try to develop it, and let's see where it goes, subject to Mr. Walsh's objection, and if the objection, at this time, it will be overruled, subject to re-review.
No, I understand.
Okay, so please proceed.
And obviously, whatever testimony that you give will be given weight accordingly, whether the OPA finds that it's helpful. Okay. So you spoke that you did see the bids that were presented
yes.
to GMHA, and why was it important, in your view, that you took a look at those machines that are being offered?
Right. For the reason that you mentioned, I'm going to be the one who's going to reading from this. I will interpret the images that are obtained with these machines, and I will use it on a daily basis for my work. And since I'm kind of those are my tools. I want to know what kind of tools I have because that's going to affect my daily work.
Right. So currently, you use the 64 slice. Machine and a 16-slice machine at
GMHA? Yes. The 64-slice machine is dysfunctional. It is only for limited use right now. There were some parts are non-functional, so it is just in limited use. The major diagnostic studies are obtained on the 16 slices.
Okay. And based on do you remember seeing the bid submission of JMI?
I saw the paperwork.
Okay.
I don't know to what time frame I looked at it anymore. I don't remember when exactly I looked at it, but I saw that the brochure.
Okay. enough. I was going to ask whether it was specific to the machine itself.
Yeah, the specifications, I saw those, yes.
I am going to renew the objection, especially now that we're in the specifics of machine because of the temporal nature. And I think I would ask to be developed when he is looking at is occurring here. Because my read of the existing facts before the OPA are that the live testimony is that the doctor joined GMH in November. Bid opening was in October of 2017. So looking at the packet could only have occurred at some point after bid opening and at some point after the genesis of this protest, which was non-responsiveness at the time of bid opening. So again, I know I've been overruled. I just now understanding that we don't even have a temporal basis for this, even under a little bit of development, I'd ask that that gets developed before we allow more testimony on this because of that bid opening in October.
But again, we're not presenting the testimony as part of the reviewing committee. His input, whether it was in support of the machines or if his input was going to be that they are sufficient, it really was non-dispositive to the reviewing committee's decision. So it's not about being able to establish whether he had some kind of involvement and it was relevant in terms of the time period. The fact is, and the request, the question was made, was did you take a look at this? Did you discuss with the radiology department this machine prior to the award? And the answer was yes.
You have to be careful about that because if there are records regarding communications like that, then Mr. Walsh may have an argument regarding completeness of the procurement record.
Sure. So that's what I was going to ask, whether the discussion was made in person,
let's resolve the objection first. So you understand the objection regarding time, right? Mm-hmm. Because what we're looking at is whether or not the decision on the protest was error or not error, and if the doctor had no part in the evaluation or in the determination regarding the protest, then what is the relevance of his testimony, even though he's an end user? So is that the objection?
And even as an end user, I'm always thinking, what is this? What are these decisions and these rulings mean for future procurements? If we are going to simply open the door to anybody who claims to be an end user of a product in a procurement to offer testimony during the procurement process, somebody beyond or who was not involved in the temporal time frame of the decision, then we're opening the door to saying that every police officer who could possibly be using a vehicle in part of a procurement process should testify. GSA procures toilet paper. There are end users in government Guam agencies who use toilet paper. We would be opening the door to just simply saying anybody who's an end user can give competent, relevant testimony. So as an end user, I think I'm objecting still, and the temporal objection, Mr. Hearing Officer, you state exactly as is.
Okay. Well, notwithstanding the objection, and the objection is noted, I think it's important for you to be able to make your record.
Right.
So make your record, whether or not...
The record was going to be made in just as supporting testimony to to Dr. Nicole. So is it necessary testimony for a determination of the reviewing committee? I don't think so. And so it'll resolve and speed up and make more efficient this process. We really don't need to continue questioning.
Now, the way I understand the offer of proof is that the doctor will corroborate Dr. Nicole's
testimony
yesterday regarding why the hospital needed that specific type of machine, which was a 64 slice rather than a 32 slice, which he says is not a true 64, but an upgrade, a 32 with an upgrade 64. So, I mean, you can develop it, but whether or not the deputy public auditor, whether it assists her or not, will be another question.
I would be willing to stipulate, I mean, maybe this accelerates the process, that for a radiologist, an interventionist radiologist at the hospital, that a 64-slice acquired machine is different than a 32-slice acquired machine, and that a 64-slice acquired machine would be preferential or preferred to a 32-slice acquired machine. I mean, if we've gone down this path.
Will you stipulate that that's what GMH specifically wanted?
GMH wanted a 64-slice acquired machine.
We
don't have an issue with that.
There's a distinction because Dr. Nicole said that GMH did not want a 32 with an upgrade. So
Yes, obviously we have issues with the way she's interpreted what's going on here. Whether not 32 and a 32 is equal to 64, back to that issue. But I mean, I'm offering testimony about that later today.
I think the course would be develop your testimony that you want, make your record, because even though we've made statements regarding time and all of that, what's important is that the parties are satisfied that they've been had the opportunity to present the record they want to present. So
Thank you.
So I got a little lost in my questioning to you, Dr. Rabati. So you were saying about the needs of the hospital, and the 64 slice machine is currently, based on your experience, not working at full capacity.
No, it's not.
Okay. And why is a 64 acquired slice machine necessary at GMH?
Okay, so 64, technically speaking, covers a larger body volume in the same time than a 32. When you obtain images, time plays an important role. Everybody who takes photographs knows if he puts the finger on the trigger for too long, the image becomes blurred. The same is for medical imaging. So if you can image fast, you can get crispy, clear images. And for CT, it's very important, especially the application cardiac CT, where you have a moving object like the heart, or you have you do vascular studies where you have moving objects like the contrast. When you have breath hold things that affect the image quality, time is very important for your image quality, and it makes a huge difference if you have to scan longer to cover the body area, or if you can scan shorter. That is the major benefit of having a 64 slice versus other slices. That makes your image quality much better. Right now, our diagnostic CT is a 16 slice, and this technology is old. It is out of date, and we feel it every day. Every day we're looking at studies, or we are kind of compromised in our diagnostic abilities because of motion artifact from breathing, from vessel motion, heart motion, from bowel motion, and it is really sometimes difficult, and the results in many non-diagnostic exams just because of the effect. 64 is nowadays the standard, actually, and this is what most hospitals acquire, is a 64. If you have the money, then you get a 256 or 320. The 256 costs about twice as a 64. Gives only a little more benefit in image quality. It's not necessarily justified to pay double the price for styled light increase in quality. The difference between a 32 and 64 is major. It's if I remember correctly, the pitch, so that means like the rotation time on a 32, I think it's 0.52 seconds. On a 64 is 0.33 seconds. So there's a 1/3 difference, and that's a big time. So imagine like a patient, their normal heart rate is between 60 and 80, you know, and more many patients who have heart problems have actually a higher heart rate. So that means the heart beats so-and-so often per second. So let's say they have 120 heart rate, it beats twice per second. So you have motion. They cannot hold their breath because they're short of breath. So those things all impact the image quality. 64 was the thing to go with, just because you buy a CT scanner not for 1 year, for 2 years, you buy it for a longer period of time. So you want to have also something that is good in 3 years, 4 years, and 5 years. That's the reason why you go for a 64 and not something below that. You don't buy an outlet model that is kind of polished.
So before I continue on, I did not really speak about your credentials.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might have cut you off.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And your experience as a radiologist,
right.
Can you please give us that so that we can put that on the record?
So I finished my residency in diagnostic radiology in the University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston. That was in June 2016. I continued with a fellowship in the same institution for interventional and vascular interventional radiology. finished last year in June, and then in between, till I got till I started here at GMH, I started a neuro fellowship at the same institution, which then I, after 4 months after I started GMH, I aborted to come here over and continue at GMH.
So your formal schooling and training then would have covered the use of these machines?
Yes,
and
yes,
their
technical specifications? Yes, yeah. We had the luxury of a state-of-the-art department. We had the newest technology. We had a 250-size scanner. We had a dual-source CT scanner. In our institution, we had several 64-slice scanners. We had state-of-the-art machines, and we did all kinds of procedures. We did coronary angiography with those scanners, and I read out those exams during my training, CT coronary CTs, structural heart studies. Lung studies like low dose scans, high resolution scans for lungs, vascular studies. So all everything that's that is done in radiology was done in my training, and I was a part of it. So I had sort of whole spectrum.
Okay, so it doesn't sound like you've had. So GMHA is the first hospital you are.
That's my first after training. Yes.
Okay, after training, and. Now working with this 16 slice machine, can this machine be upgraded now to something more? The current machine that we have now.
If it can be upgraded, or what was the question?
Right. Can something like that be upgraded?
I'm not sure. I think you know. I'm not sure in the technical details if it can be upgraded. I think it would require a lot of things. You know, it's like an old car. You can bring it up to date, but you have to exchange half of it, those things. And so one important thing, for example, is the rotation time. Probably need to have a different machine to rotate the detector row and the X-ray row at that speed that you need. You need to have the table moving in the right way. And there are so many factors, you know. Also, the weight limit on the table, that would have to be changed to be upgraded for nowadays patients get bigger, so the manual machines can take a heavier patient. This also have to consider also the gantry. So that's a hole where the patient is going through that has to have a certain size because some patients are too big to get imaged. So many things. So I think it would not be reasonable to upgrade that machine. It would be more reasonable to get a up to date machine that already has all those things there.
Okay. So you testified earlier about the difference between a 32-slice acquired machine and a 64-slice acquired machine to be, based on your knowledge, is a very big difference. Right?
It's significant.
Okay. And is an upgraded 32-slice machine to a 64-slice machine, would that have to... Based on your knowledge now, right? Would that cause any difference?
Yeah, I think so. So the thing is, first of all, like I said, you buy a CT scanner to be up to date for a certain period of time. You don't want to go next year and looking for another CT scanner because the standard has changed. So you want to get a machine that is up to date. A 32 machine is not up to date. Period. It is an outlet model.
Even if it were upgraded to a
64-slice? So what if the standard becomes 128? Then you have to go back and upgrade a 32 to 128. Why don't you upgrade a 64 to 128? So why would you go with the outlet model and try to upgrade it and then always try to catch up? So just get something that is covering you for the next years. And the image quality is different. It is digitally manipulated to have the things to give you the image. I mean, if you complete other things, if you look at digital cameras, digital cameras have 18 megapixel cameras, but you know, the 18 megapixel looks different on an iPhone than the 18 megapixel on a DSLR. Why? Because the chip is different. So the same thing, you need to have a certain detectors number to have the image quality. If you take the image and you divide it by two to increase the ratio or whatever the interpol or the numbers, you will have some sort of error and you will have some sort of blurriness. And in some cases, this blurriness makes a difference in your clinical decision making. And you won't have the best tools that you can get for a reasonable price, right?
Thank you, Dr. Rabadi. I have no other questions.
Mr. Walsh, before you proceed, do you mind if I ask the doctor a question?
Mm-hmm.
So, doctor, do you have a familiarity with the machine that JMI was proposing in its bid to the hospital?
Yes.
Okay. Now, is their position that is, the way I understand their position is that it is a 32-slice machine with a 64-slice initial acquisition upgrade?
Yeah.
Do you have an opinion regarding that? It is
technically speaking, it is a 32-slice machine that is upgraded. And this is not, you know, it is kind of, like I said, my opinion is an outlet model that's been polished up. So if you go and if you're gonna look into buying a machine like that in your consideration to start out with, then you would have changed your descriptions, right? You would say, I'm looking for a 64 acquired machine, but I'm okay to take 32s who are upgraded to 64. And this is not what was in the description. The description asked for a 64 acquired. So we're getting a model that is technically not up to the requirements that were asked for, and it is upgraded, but again, it is the base model doesn't have is not included in the base model. It's like buying a car with a navigation system. That's what you ask for, and the dealer gives you a car and then puts a separate screen in there. Here's your navigation system. That's not what you asked for.
So, do you have an opinion regarding whether there's a difference in quality between a 32 that's upgraded to 64 versus a 64?
Yeah.
What's your opinion?
I think that the base 64 has a better quality.
The IFP, though, was silent regarding whether or not it didn't say it could be a 32 with a 64 upgrade, but it also didn't say it couldn't be, correct?
Yeah.
Mr. Walsh, thank you.
Doctor, thank you for your time this afternoon. I've got a couple questions, including a couple background questions. You work at Guam Memorial Hospital,
mm-hmm,
exclusively?
Yes.
Are you part of any other Guam corporation or any partnership? Do you remember when you arrived on the island?
November, like November 6th.
Do you know if there is an existing 64 acquired slice machine at GMH?
We have a 64. I'm not familiar with the data because I never looked really into what it can do because it's, except, dysfunctional.
Do you know if it acquires slices at 64?
I'm not sure.
Have you worked with that machine?
Not for this type of diagnostic purposes.
So you are a radiologist that works exclusively at GMH, but you have not worked with the 64 slice acquired machine at GMH?
I work with that machine, but for my work, the slices were not important on that machine because I did not use it as a diagnostic tool. I use it like for CT-guided needle placement and those kind of things, which I can do on a 64. I can do on a 4-slice machine, basically. Yeah. I just use it to have the 16-slice machine available for emergent cases from the ER and not to be occupying that good machine that is providing diagnostic images with a patient who is getting a lung biopsy, because for a lung biopsy, I don't need super good images. I just need to have some sort of images, so I have a kind of a 3D image. That's why I went over and used a 64, but I never used a 64 because I require 64 slices. So this is...
So GMH is your first stop after finishing your training. And I, if I understand correctly, that you really haven't had to work on a 64 slice.
Oh, yeah, I worked before. I worked before in my training institution. We had.
I'm asking about your time at GMH.
No. Okay. Not for diagnostic purposes, yeah. Only the 16.
The 16?
I mean, the 16, yeah. Because GMH has a 64, but I said we don't use it for diagnosis right. Because it is it has some technical issues and it doesn't provide diagnostic quality for those studies.
Wait, you don't use it because it doesn't provide studies, or you don't use it because your practice doesn't require you using it?
Both. So right now,
practice is limited? Is that what I'm understanding?
No. So why would I try to work with a machine that is technically dysfunctional? So I'm not even trying to put a patient and get a cardiac CT in that patient because the machine is defect. It doesn't give me diagnostic images. So I'm not using it for diagnostic. I'm using it for CT-guided procedures. Because for CT-guided procedures, I could use a two-slice that machine.
Is that the reason you don't know whether or not that machine is a 64-acquired slice machine?
Yeah, I've not really looked into the details of that machine, yes.
Is it your understanding that JMI Edison was proposing in this IFB to give the hospital a 32-acquired slice machine that reconstructs the 64?
That was in a brochure.
How did you get that understanding?
That's in an exhibit.
Where did you get the exhibit from?
I looked at the brochure. I had all the paperwork given to me.
Who gave it to you?
Nicole.
When did she give it to you?
I looked at this in December. And then I looked at it again April or March, when we had the first meeting here, but it was postponed. I reviewed those information again.
How did Nicole provide you the copy?
We had a folder with all the paperwork from all the companies that the Siemens product was in there, and just a side effect, my personal preference would have been the Siemens because all of the machines I trained on were Siemens.
Mm-hmm. That was your personal preference? Did you let that be known to Nicole?
Yes.
How did you let that be known to Nicole?
I said it several times.
Several times?
Yeah.
So when was the first time you said that to her?
First time we, probably in November when we talked about what are the companies.
Oh, November. I thought you just testified under oath the first time you got this stuff was in December. So let's talk about November.
I knew that there is we are purchasing CT machines. Even before I come to the island, that's what I knew.
Before. How did you know that?
Well, I was in conversation with the radiology department before that.
Who were the conversations with?
It was Dr. Nguyen, the chairman.
Dr. Nguyen?
Yes.
Oh, the chairman, you were talking to him about the new machines?
Well, he was saying that we are about acquiring new machines. Nicole was talking to me about acquiring new machines. But
did you have conversations with Dr. Berg as well?
So, Mr. Walsh, you have to let him finish. I don't know if he's done. I know you've got a lot of questions, but
I'm sorry.
Give him an
opportunity. So we were talking about how you were talking with Dr.
I'll tell you about the nature. So I'm in Texas. I'm working on my paperwork in order to come here to work. And so they were telling me what they have and what they don't have. And they said we have two CT scanners and we're in the process of obtaining another CT scanner. And I was excited about getting new CT scanners. Okay. And so when I came here, I was wondering what are the companies we're getting the CT scanner from. And so they mentioned that we're looking at the Siemens product. And without knowing the fact, I'm a fan of Siemens. I like Siemens. I'm from Germany. That's my home brand. That's a brand I trained on. And if I would buy for my own practice and I would have enough money, then I would go for Siemens. And so that's what I said also to them. It was not without any looking at any specifics at that point. The first time I had specifics on hand was in December when they provided me the folders.
So, Mr. Walsh, what's the purpose of this line of questioning? Because I don't want this to be a discovery tool for you to determine whether there's another issue.
Well, I've learned that there are conversations that have occurred between the witness and the procuring agency related to both, it seems like, the response that we've gotten to the protest and ultimately the response that we're getting today. And I don't have any record of those conversations in the procurement record. So since today is the day that he's here to offer testimony about these conversations and raised having conversations, I'd like to know about those conversations, and like to know as fully as I can, considering I probably have a new 14-day clock running from today, about where those conversations went, who those conversations were with, and why those conversations are not.
How is it relevant to which? How is it relevant to your issue on appeal? Because your issue on appeal is that there was error regarding whether determination whether JMI was responsive. So how does this line of questioning, how is it relevant to the issue on appeal?
I'm exploring it for the benefit, what I'm hoping, of the hearing officer and the deputy public auditor to understand the weight that they should give the gentleman's testimony with regard to what he said about how, in his opinion, there's a difference between these machines. He came up with that opinion that he shared with everybody today about how a machine that's 32 added to 32, which equals 64 acquired slices, is somehow not a 64 acquired slice machine.
Well, I think that's fair. I think it's fair game for you to ask that, but I don't want to be doing discovery here. Now, I think Ms. Juju, may have questioned him regarding that, but I don't think it's relevant to 32 versus 64.
I will tighten it up.
Okay.
May I ask a question?
Okay.
So why didn't you provide a 64 machine initially in your, when you, that's my question.
I'm sorry, you're the witness.
So yeah, but I'm wondering, discussion. If you want to have a discussion with me, I'm asking you why
didn't you provide a 64. No, I want to ask you questions. I don't want to have a discussion.
Doctor, the way that it has to be is he's trying to present his case for his appeal. So you asking him questions wouldn't be relevant to the appeal, and it's not the normal procedure. I thought you were going to ask me a question.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to tighten this up. I just want to. You had a November discussion, perhaps, with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about it very briefly.
Who's we? May I ask who's
we? We had a phone conversation. Dr. Nguyen was on the phone. I think Jeff Hughes was on the phone, and Nicole was on the phone.
This was a telephone conversation?
It was a telephone conversation before I came
here. And there was one in December as well, did I hear that?
Oh, December, I was already here, so we had a discussion in person. But like I said, didn't know the hard facts about the products till I had the folder in front of me, which was somewhere in December.
Okay, that was in person. And then the last one on this before I move on to the rest of my questions. And then I think you mentioned there was a conversation again in April?
We had this meeting was scheduled for Wednesday in April, I believe, or in March, and then it was postponed. So before that time, I reviewed again the paperwork to be kind of prepared to know what to update myself.
Did you talk with anybody about that?
No.
Okay, so there was no conversation?
No, I got the folder and then and looked at it.
Thank you for those clarifications. Have you ever worked with GE in any capacity?
With what?
General Electric. Have you ever worked with GE?
Yeah.
Have you worked with the GE EVO line?
No, I worked with GE ultrasound machines.
Oh, have you ever worked with the GE CAT scan machine?
No.
Okay. Have you ever worked at a GE factory?
No.
Have you ever represented GE products?
No.
Do you doubt, tell me if I'm off base here, but do you doubt that GE could churn out from its factory a 64 acquired slice CT machine?
Could what?
Could turn out from its factory a 64 acquired slice CT machine. Do you have any reason to doubt GE's ability to do that?
I don't really know. I don't understand your question.
Do you know if GE has 64 acquired slice machines?
I'm not sure. I bet they have. I bet they have even more.
Okay. But you don't know if there's a
64? I've never looked really into a catalog about GE has actually also acquired machines. I was more interested in about IR suits from GE and compared it to other competitors. I never looked at GE's, CT kind of portfolio.
Okay. No further questions.
Okay. Misconception?
No questions.
Any redirect?
Yes. Okay.
I would just caution you regarding that one line of questioning.
I will.
Just to relevance, I mean.
Yeah, sure. There, just to be clear, Doctor, when you're having conversations in November with the radiology department.
Yes.
It was so that you can, to entice you to get to work here, right? To come over.
Yeah,
to work.
Yeah.
It was a part of your employment.
Exactly. We would discuss what, you know, what the daily work is, how we schedule patients.
It wasn't because they needed your input for a certain procurement that they explained to you.
No.
Okay. And then, so you said you took a look at the material in December when you got here,
mm-hmm.
And it was just presented to you along with all the other packets?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And this was because you testified to be familiar with the machines that may be coming?
Yes, I was curious, of course, what's out there, what we are looking at.
Okay. And you say you have a preference for a Siemens machine because you worked on it.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't it true that whatever machines you have through GMHA or will get at GMHA, you can operate and be proficient in based on your training?
Yeah.
Okay. And the last time that you took a look at this material was in April, and then you said this meeting, I just wanted to clarify, was for what you believe was the formal hearing.
Yes.
Okay, so that was the meeting you were talking about.
Yes, there was a meeting. I don't know if it was April or March. I forgot about the data, you know. But it was, we had, I think 6 weeks ahead, we had a meeting scheduled, but it was postponed, right?
So the meeting is this formal hearing?
Yes, formal hearing, yeah.
All right, thank you. No further questions.
Okay, thank you, Doctor.
Thank you.
Can I ask?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, of course.
Doctor, do you have experience with machines that are offered as an upgrade, similar to what we're discussing now?
No. In my training institutions, we bought new machines right away had all the things included. No.
Also, you discussed, you testified on the quality of pictures
mm-hmm.
coming from a 32 versus a 64,
yes.
where the 64 slice is much better quality for you to do your mm-hmm. diagnostics. So I'm trying to understand, like we also discussed in earlier testimony about reconstructed
mm-hmm.
Images, I suppose. So in a 32 slice machine, they can reconstruct to 64.
Mm-hmm.
So if, do you have any comments or testimony to the quality of a reconstructed photo versus one from an upgraded machine, or could you even say anything to that effect?
In general, like I said, image quality plays a role. And if we just look at this from a technical standpoint, you have digital data. Images are digital data.
Mm-hmm.
The more data you have, the more precise the data is, whatever you calculate with it, it's going to be more precise. If you have an error and you calculate with an error, you will get an error. Right?
But from an image coming from an upgraded machine?
Yeah, because
different from a reconstructed.
It's going to be different from a reconstructed image. Yeah.
Where the image from an upgraded equipment would be better quality than one that was reconstructed.
Yeah.
Okay, thank
for
you.
Sure. So just to follow up, so I had asked you earlier, so for clarification,
mm-hmm.
a 32 slice machine that is upgraded to 64. Do you have a basis to say that the quality of the upgraded machine to 64 would be different than a 64 machine?
Yeah.
What's the basis?
My training, I worked with 64 machines, and we also had, of course, lectures and reviewed images, and you could see the differences between images that were obtained with a lower slice number compared to a higher slice number, how certain things became more clear, and on that basis, you want to have the best available image, and you want to have a 64 acquired machine, because that way you get the certain body volume imaged in a certain time, rather than having it upgraded based on a different number of voxels, and then getting it upgraded to the recalculated so you have the same area.
I guess that's where I'm getting confused is we're talking about reconstructed images versus images coming out of a machine that's upgraded.
Right.
So I understand them to be different, distinct. But in your opinion, do you think that they're the same or they
are? No, they're not the same. 64 acquired is different than 32 acquired. And
even if it's an upgraded 64.
So if you upgraded a 32 to a 64, so what do you upgrade? What do you change? Do you put a new detector in there?
Madam Public Auditor, may I just offer one thing? I think ending the conversation at the word upgrade, because I could understand how the doctor could think you're taking a 32 image and upgrading it up to a 64 reconstructed. I think we need to be clear about asking the doctor about 64 acquired slices. A 32 machine with 32 more to acquire 64. Is that a 64 acquired? Just I'm worried
initial,
about it.
Initial acquisition.
Initial acquisition is 64. Yes.
Right. Yeah, right.
Do you understand the question?
Yeah. So if the acquisition is 64, if you have 64 detector rows who are taking at one pitch 64 images through 64 channels, then you can have equal quality. But again, you're taking an upgraded machine, a machine that is where the general parts of the machine are 32. It is an outlet model. That's what it is.
What does that mean, outlet model? Meaning it's becoming obsolete?
Yeah. That's the reason why. So if you don't have the product, in my opinion, if you don't have the product that is up to date and you have an older product and you improve, put some new things on it to make it up to date, then it is good for being up to date, but it's still good tomorrow. And I said, you buy a CT scanner for years. Mm-hmm. And so that machine is upgraded to a 64. If they put like additional 32 rows, so that it has 64 rows, it has 64 rows, but it's upgraded. So, and this is not that what is kind of required.
May I have one quick question?
I figured you would.
Well, I just needed to ask. Do you have any, is it your impression that GMH is being offered a used machine of any sort?
No, not used machine.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Okay. Thank you, Doctor. And Mr. Juju, do you have any other, Doctor, you're excused.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Do you have any other witnesses?
No other. I'm GMH A-Russ.
Okay, now, before we get to you, are you done with your presentation?
Yes.
Okay. So, Mr. Walsh, you have somebody who's ready to participate telephonically?
We do. We've got one rebuttal witness to address Dr. Berg's testimony, Ms. Don Hodge's testimony, and the doctor's testimony.
And this is the person who Mr. Elau referred to.
From GE. Yes, Mr. Terramoto. Can we just get him on right now, or do you want to take a break? I think we can get them on. We have a speakerphone here, so.
Okay, they'll have to be sworn.
Okay, you're on loudspeaker now.
Mr. Terramoto, can you hear me? This is Joshua Walsh.
Hi, Joshua. I can hear you.
Hi. Madam Public Auditor, are you okay with that volume? You have to be sworn in, so the Public Auditor's assistant's going to swear you in, okay?
Okay.
Hi. Please state your name for the record.
Michael Terramoto.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Terramoto, again, this is Josh Walsh working with John Elau here at for JMI Edison. Thank you for your time. I know it's late in the day. I have just a few questions. First question is, can you let us know where you work and what you do in that job?
I work for GE Healthcare. And I'm currently the CT and PET region modality leader. So I support all of our account managers in the areas of CT and tech.
Can I ask you, just so we know where you are, where are we calling you from tonight? Or where are you calling us from tonight?
I'm located in Seattle, Washington.
Okay. Now, we've had some testimony about how the EVOES line does not have a 64-slice capability or part in its catalog. I think we had somebody testify that that's just a completely different kind of machine. Are you familiar with the EVOES line?
I am.
Are there 64 acquired slice machines in that line?
Yes.
Does the EVOES have a base model that's 32 acquired slices?
That's correct.
Are there options to upgrade from beyond that?
Yes, there are.
Just how much can I upgrade?
You can upgrade to a 64 slice acquisition system.
Okay. Do you know if you were working with JMI Edison on procuring a 64 slice acquired slice machine for Guam Memorial Hospital?
That's what we proposed, correct.
Was that going to be a new machine from the factory?
Absolutely.
Was it going to leave the factory with 64 acquired slices capable?
Yes.
I also had some testimony the other day that I'm not quite sure how to phrase this, but that I think the testimony was something along the lines of 32 acquired detector slices added to 32 acquired detector slices does not equal 64 acquired detector slices. Does that make any sense to you?
It does not.
So if I have a 32 machine from GE that's upgraded at the factory to come out with 32 additional acquired slice detectors, I've got a 64 acquired slice machine, is that right?
That's correct.
Mr. Terremoto, I hate to keep you up at this late hour, but those are all the questions I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Zuzu?
Sure. Thank you. Mr. Terremoto? This is Rachel Timonel Azuzu, and I'm an attorney for the Guam Memorial Hospital Authority. Good afternoon or good evening, where you're at.
Good afternoon.
Okay, so I just have a few questions regarding, we heard that you are the CT region modality leader. How long have you been with GE?
I've been with GE for a little over 30 years. I started with them in March of 1987.
Okay. And does your role include support in sales, where you go and talk about these machines to your vendors, or I don't know what is this? JMI is, are they kind of the middleman to the ultimate customer?
Those are two questions.
I'm not sure if I understood your question, but my role is to support our sales team in the specific areas of CT and PET.
Okay. So when you deal with people like, or you deal with companies like JMI, do you give them any kind of training or?
I'm going to object to beyond the scope of my limited direct examination, which was focused on 64 versus 32.
The reason I ask this is because we did hear testimony that you assisted in preparation for this bid. So your name specifically, your credentials, your role in JMI was not included as part of the bid packet. So I'm just trying to figure out
My response would be that this was my direct examination and her cross should be limited to that.
You're right. Technically, it's beyond the cross, but she would also, I mean, we could also have her recall.
Understood.
Recall
Thank you.
The witness, right? So it's correct, but it'll be overruled.
Okay. And we are in a little bit of we understand this is an informal proceeding, so I'm just trying to get information, Mr. Terremoto, about kind of, your expertise, because it was used in testimony earlier, and you testified in response to Attorney Walsh's question that you're familiar with this bid because you helped work on it. So I'm trying to figure out the extent of the assistance that you provided, whether it was in the case of training or familiarity with this specific CT line. So my question was, I guess I could be more direct and limit it a little bit more and say, what kind of assistance did you provide JMI in preparing this bid?
So I help with the technical specs to ensure the systems meet the specification and help with the configuration for JMI.
When you say configuration, was that the informational sheets that were provided as part of the bid?
That's correct.
And you testified that the GE Revolution EVO ES machine can be upgraded from a basic model 32 acquired slice machine to a 64 acquired slice machine, correct? Okay, and are these upgrades commonly done in your experience with for customers? Do they ask specifically for 64 slice acquired machines frequently?
The options are created so if a customer can only afford a 32 slice acquisition system initially, then we can provide that and meet that need and their capabilities. Then as their capabilities grow or as the funds become available, then they have an option to upgrade it to 64.
If that were the case, how does the upgrade, how's the upgrade done? Is it physically on the machine? We send the machine back to you, and then you physically change the components of the machine to be a 64?
I object to mischaracterizing the testimony earlier. The testimony from Mr. Terremoto was the machine left the factory, leaves the factory, and 64 acquired slices. So
he did testify to that.
So to the extent there's a question about sending it back, it's...
I mean, it was she's asking, but she's also asking how it is done. I take it as if it's going to come as a 64, how do you change it before it comes here from a 32 to a 64? So that part would be helpful to hear. But you're right, he did testify as he did.
Okay. So, all right, so let's talk about this machine specifically that's being offered in the bid as an upgraded 64 slice acquired machine. How does that happen to your baseline before it gets delivered?
Yeah, so anytime the upgrade is included as part of the original quote, then the system will be configured as a 64 slice acquired system in the factory.
Okay, and does the factory, does it mean to add on a couple of other specific hardware or software?
No, it'll be configured as a 64 slice acquisition system.
Okay, and if we did want a 64 acquired slice machine that GE could provide from the factory, are there specification sheets that state that model?
I'm not sure if I understand that question.
Okay, so your specification sheets for the machines, are there any specification sheets for machines that come with a 64 slice acquisition from the factory?
Do you mean initially or?
Initially.
For the Revolution EVO ES system, the base configuration, I think as we mentioned, is a 32 slice acquisition system. So the reference to the 64 slice acquisition system would be in the quotation.
In the quotation. Do you have any literature that states that this base machine can be upgraded aside from maybe the catalog reference.
I am not aware of a technical publication, no.
Does the GE Revolution EVO line have a 64 slice acquisition machine that's already standard, that does not have, that is not an upgrade from the one that we're talking about now? Does GE have a 64 slice acquired machine that starts off at a 64 slice acquired machine in the EVO series?
Yes, we actually have three other platforms that can start off as a 64 slice acquired system.
In the Revolution EVO series?
In the Revolution EVO series, in the Revolution HP series, and in the Revolution Frontier series.
So you said there are three machines that do that, and so one is the Revolution EVO, and then two other different types of machines?
Correct.
Okay. So technically there is a machine that comes initially with a 64 acquired capability in the GE Revolution EVO system.
Correct.
And this was not that machine that was being presented. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Does that machine that can that does come standard with a 64 slice acquisition capability, does that machine have a spec sheet? And what is that model with the under the GE Revolution EVO series?
I'm going to object a little bit to the relevance. Object to the relevance. We have a procurement about a particular machine being non-responsive to the bid, a discovery process being launched upon other machines that exist in the GE product line. I'm not quite sure as relevant to whether or not the machine that was specced out by JMI for response was responsive or not. Talking about other machines that are out there, I'm at a loss of why that's relevant to the responsiveness of JMI for the product they provided.
Can you answer that question, please, Mr. Teramoto? Whether GE has a technical specification sheet for that machine?
Yeah, Josh was saying, you know, the reason we offered the EVO ES system was because it matched the specifications of the bid.
Are you saying that the base machine matches the specifications of the bid?
With the upgrade to the 64 slice acquisition, yeah.
Okay. And how would you confirm with your customer that what they're getting is the upgraded system?
One would be the quote. The second would be our responses to the inquiry.
So there's no literature, no catalog, no written material that states, okay, we have this baseline, but you can do such things with this machine as a 64 upgrade.
That's what I would say. The quote would be that document.
And the quote is a, did you provide that to JMI?
We provide a quote to JMI, yes.
Do provide that quote to JMI for the upgraded machine here?
Correct. And but it's up to JMI to represent themselves with their quotation, is my understanding.
Okay. And is there a model number? Does the model number change at all if you do the upgrade?
No.
If you upgrade a base machine from 32 to 64, does that change any of the other specifications under the technical specification sheets?
No.
I was reading up a little bit on the Evo system. I didn't see any information that it can be upgraded, but that could just be it was an informational brochure.
I'm objecting to the offer of testimony from counsel.
And that's sustained, so just ask a question.
So the 64 upgrade, can we just shorten it and call it a 64 upgrade? Basically, we just have to take the salesperson's word for it until it comes in the box. Is that, that's kind of my understanding. Is that correct?
What's stated on the quote, and I think we responded to the response to the technical specifications and requirements, so you definitely can hold us responsible to both of those.
And you use we a lot. You are referring to you and JMI, or GE and JMI. Is that correct?
Correct.
Have you ever supplied the GE Revolution Evo system to JMI before?
Sorry.
Have you ever supplied or supplied JMI with the GE Revolution Evo system before?
We have not. It's a new system.
It's a new system. And have you had the opportunity of training or giving support to JMI regarding this new system?
We've discussed it and talked about its capabilities and what it can do.
And
it's not a formal. Sorry.
No, I didn't mean to cut you off. You were saying it's not a formal.
It's not a formal training that I'm aware of or distributed.
And a part of the bid indicated the upgrade through a catalog number, catalog reference. Is this a catalog that distributors such as JMI can look through and add on kind of, you know, bells and whistles to a machine?
Yes.
What can this machine be upgraded up to at most?
Objection as to the relevance of the question. There's nothing in the RFP or about the procurement specs seeking anything beyond a 64 acquired slice machine. So questions about what it can be upgraded to are not relevant to the instant purpose.
Okay. I was going to ask it myself, but it was so overruled.
I think we got the answer on my direct, too.
So go ahead and answer that question, Mr. Turner.
It can be upgraded to a 64 slice acquired.
That is the highest range that it can be upgraded to.
Not currently. So with any product lines, there's always future development, and I'm not privy to. There could always be opportunities for greater upgrades in the future.
Okay, and then you spoke earlier about that GE Revolution Evo system actually has a 64 acquired as a standard model. How much can that be upgraded?
Okay.
The same to 64? No, you said earlier that the GE Revolution Evo line has a machine standard at 64 acquired slices. What can that machine be upgraded to?
Currently, it would be a 64-slice acquired system. There isn't a higher acquired slice capability for the Revolution Evo line yet.
So, when you said earlier that the GE Revolution Evo system does actually have a machine that comes as a standard baseline machine at 64 acquired slices, you're actually talking about the upgrade of the base machine that we have in the specs here, correct?
No.
Okay.
So, I mean, like I mentioned, the Revolution Evo ES system is our base system, and you can add the options to make it have greater capabilities. The Revolution Evo, talked about it as the 64 slice acquired system. In that configuration, there it comes standard with some other capabilities that that weren't in the bit specification. So, in order to really meet the bit specification, we needed to start with the Revolution Evo ES and just add the things that weren't needed.
Okay, so I know I keep asking this question. I don't think I'm following you. You said earlier that in the GE Revolution Evo line, there is a 64 acquired machine that comes standard. That has different configurations, you just said, but that machine cannot be upgraded further. Is that correct?
Not in the area of acquired slices.
And would that standard 64 machine still be called the Revolution Evo ES system?
No, it would be called the Revolution Evo EX.
EX. Thank you. No further questions.
Ms. Conception, do you have any questions?
No, I don't.
Before we, do you have questions?
Thanks. Hold on, Mr. Termold, I'm going to bring you up to the public auditor here, so if they've got questions, they can talk to you. All right, here you are.
Phone still here? Mr. Termold, this is Peter Perez, the hearing officer. Is there a difference in price between the base 32 model and the base 64 model?
Yes, there is.
Which one is more expensive?
The base 64 is more expensive than the base ES, if you will. So the Evo EX is more expensive than the Evo ES.
I don't have any other questions. Mr. Walsh, did you have... redirect?
Just two quick redirect. I'm going to bring this back, if that's okay.
Yes, of course.
Mr. Termold, I have just two questions because I want to make sure we're all on the same page about some of the basics here. Is there a difference, to your understanding, in image quality, you know, stuff that helps the end user, stuff that helps the doctor? Is there a difference in a 32 acquired slice machine that is upgraded to 64 acquired slices when it leaves the factory versus the quality of the images for a machine that's born as a native 64 acquired slice machine when it leaves the factory? Is there a difference between those two machines in terms of the quality of the imagery?
No, there's not.
Okay. And on that last line of questioning from GMH's counsel, I want to make sure we're clear on this. Are you aware of born as 64 acquired slice machines. I mean, I apologize for butchering the science, the terminology here, but if a machine is born as a 64 quart slice machine, are there products like that that cannot be upgraded beyond that existing 64 acquired slices? You understand what I'm asking about?
Not exactly.
Okay, let me try again. We had some questions about the GE product line and how there are base model 32 acquired slice machines and base model 64 acquired slice machines. Do you understand that? Remember that?
Correct.
Okay. I understood that there's a 32 acquired slice machine that can be upgraded to a 64 acquired slice machine. I think that's the one that JMI was offering. We remember that little part of the conversation?
Correct.
Okay. Are there base model 64 acquired slice machines that can't be upgraded beyond that 64 acquired slices?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I've got no further questions.
Okay. So, you can be excused.
Thank you, Mr. Termoto. Have a good evening.
So, I understand the parties want to make closing remarks, and why don't we break? And how much time do you want to give them? You guys want? You got it? Can you guys do...
Well... maybe counsel and I, we can have a short conversation about the need for closing, or do we prefer findings of fact, conclusions of law?
Well, those are going to be requested, irrespective.
Okay. So can we just put it in the...
Can we take a break for 3 minutes?
Yeah. Let's take a 5 minute break.
We're off the record at 2:22.
Okay.
It's 2:26 p.m. We're back on the record.
Okay, so the parties had an opportunity to confer with one another regarding whether or not they wish to make closing arguments.
We have, Mr. Hearing Officer, and I think the counsel, we're okay with submitting findings of fact and conclusions of law and foregoing some sort of formal closing argument today.
So for the record, all three parties waive closing arguments and agree to submit proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law.
Yes.
So the goal here is to get this decision out as soon as possible. So the proposed date for you guys to make your submittals would be Friday. Is that doable?
As in June 1st?
Yes. Okay.
This Friday?
Yes.
For me, it would be a little problematic to do that this Friday. I am the only attorney in the office right now. So.
Okay. How about Tuesday?
The press of business usually should not be an excuse. However, I will say I am representing Boy Scouts of America in a series of depositions that are keeping us running around the clock here. I was going to actually ask if it would be possible to submit them at the conclusion of next week. That's, I think, Friday the 1st. Of course, we understand that we need to get this out fast. But just as a reality factor of having to be parked in these depositions for, I think, more than one of these child sex abuse church cases, that's keeping me occupied. But, of course, I will comply with whatever the hearing officer and the public auditor order.
There are logistical needs on the part of the Office of Public Accountability, and there are going to be periods of where each of us are off island, yeah. And the goal is to get this out promptly.
Tuesday is fine.
Josh, you think you can do Tuesday?
He's got other attorneys in his office.
I appreciate GMH Council's perspective on where I lie on the total toll of civil tank.
We'll meet it.
Perhaps if I could ask for Wednesday one extra day,
right.
Is that possible?
Wednesday. Okay, the 30th.
Wednesday the 30th.
By close of business, okay.
Written submissions filed in paper, right? That's
correct. Well, have you guys electronically file those also?
I can't recall. I do know. I think Judge Barcinas has a system where he likes some Microsoft worded in as well. I have no objection. As long as we're being told to submit them on paper as opposed to electronic, that's fine.
Okay.
I have no objection to giving them the word.
Do you guys ever do electronic?
It's always
because
we need a
stamp. So, what they could do is file.
In addition to the paper, just for the benefit of the.
Email it like a flash drive.
That would be
yeah.
Or email it
to Jared.
Yeah,
email a Word version, but file it on paper.
And copy all the council.
Yeah, yes, please.
I'm hoping we're okay with the Word version coming in after 5 o'clock if need be on that day. So, we'll focus on the paper in at 5 o'clock.
Sure, that's fine. But by the next day, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Well, thank you all very much for the efficient presentations, and
thank you.
It'll be taken under advisement.
We're off the record at 2:29.